listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. What's the danger of getting most of your news from sources like Rush Limbaugh, or for that matter, Jon Stewart on the other side?
This would be like getting all of your news out of editorial cartoons.
Children are great at smashing your idols. They have a wonderful way of keeping you from temptation by just sort of taking all of the money that you were going to dedicate towards your idols and saying, no, you have to actually use it for something that in the end is much more beneficial.
The holy angels in heaven are not weeping and wringing their hands because millions of people are dying and going to hell. The holy angels in heaven are rejoicing over one single sinner who repents.
Central Texas welder fabricators love to turn and burn while listening to Issues, etc.
He is listed among the four great Latin doctors of the church with the likes of St. Augustine. In fact, the two men knew each other. On December 7th, the church remembers a 4th century bishop of Milan, Ambrose. His name is one that is, well, literally written into history, and his contribution to the Christian church, both while he lived and even after he lived, is considerable. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, December the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be remembering 4th century Bishop Ambrose of Milan. Pastor Joshua Hayes will join us, a master's degree in classics from Washington University. We're going to talk a little bit about a new survey on growing churches in otherwise declining denominations in mainline Protestantism. Terry Mattingly, author of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, will be our guest a little bit later. The Issues Etc. comment line, we'll be responding to your comments from that comment line in hour two of Issues Etc. Then part two of our series, Are Secular Progressives Anti-Science? Today we're going to take up the subject of euthanasia, the end-of-life issues. Wesley Smith, author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die, will be our guest. Pastor Joshua Hayes joins us to help us remember on this day, 4th century Bishop Ambrose of Milan. He has a master's degree in classics from Washington University. He's pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder, Colorado, and he's editor of Johann Gerhardt's Theological Commonplaces. Pastor Hayes, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Ambrose actually has a really interesting connection to this season of the church year, the Advent season. What is it?
That would be his most famous hymn that we know, Savior of the Nations Come, that great hymn of Advent, which really kind of bleeds into a Christmas hymn as well.
He is regarded as one of the four Latin fathers, kind of these primary foundation of the church fathers in the Western church. What does that mean, and why is that?
Yes, he's regarded as one of the four great doctors, Latin for teachers, of the church, of the early Western church. And perhaps to answer that question more fully, I could give you a little background on his life and his works.
Sure.
He was born in this city called Trier, which was this area in Gaul, which is now kind of on the border of Germany and France. This was an area that Julius Caesar actually conquered in the 50s BC. But by the time Ambrose was born in 340, this was a very important Roman city. And in fact, the governor there was very high ranking in the Western Empire. And that governor, what they called the Praetorian Prefect of Gaul, was actually Ambrose's father. Now, this is important because it meant that Ambrose was well-educated in that Roman system. In fact, he knew Greek, which would be important because he would later be able to bring in some Greek writings and theology into the West. It also meant that as he was growing up, following in the footsteps of his father, He spent a lot of time giving speeches in the law courts, and in fact, this enabled him later on to become a great preacher, this time spent public speaking, so much so that Augustine, that the probably greatest of the four Latin doctors of the church, was a hearer of Ambrose, and in fact, Ambrose was one of the ones who brought Augustine into the Christian faith. Augustine said about Ambrose, "That man of God received me as a father would and welcomed my coming as a good bishop should." So without Ambrose, there would be no Augustine. Anyway, Ambrose was actually still a governor up until the 370s, when the bishop at Milan, which is where Ambrose ended up in northern Italy, died, and he was addressing the people there in this sort of vacuum of not having a bishop, and someone cries out, "Ambrose, bishop," and the crowd says, "Let's make Ambrose our bishop." Now the problem was that not only was Ambrose not a pastor at that point, he wasn't even baptized. Now, this is strange to us. I think probably as Lutherans, we would have something to say against this common practice in this time of the church of delaying baptism. Constantine is known for delaying his baptism as well. But he was baptized shortly after that, even though he grew up in a Christian family. He was then baptized as an adult, and then eventually they made him a pastor and made him their bishop there, and he was baptized on this day that we remember him, December 7th. So, like all great men, we could talk about Ambrose many things, many reasons to answer your question why he is great as a hymn writer. He was great as a preacher. He was great as a theologian opposing the Arian heresy, which said that Jesus was not fully one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But I think And even most famously outside the church, people might recognize Ambrose for being the one who more or less coined the phrase, "when in Rome." He was talking about when he goes to Rome, then he follows the customs, the sort of liturgical rubrics and the different chants that they have there than he does in Milan. Personally, however, I think that if I got to choose any of the ancient church fathers to be my pastor, I would choose Ambrose, because at the end of the day, that's what he was. He was a good pastor, and remember, that's what impressed Augustine as well. He was able to teach new Christians and catechumens, and he even we even have writings of his teaching pastors how to be pastors. And I'm not the only one to think this. I have a quote here, if you'll indulge me. This is about Ambrose. This is from an upcoming volume of Gerhard's works. These words, however, are actually Erasmus's words, this Renaissance scholar, who writes, "I think there is hardly anyone whose works are extant more worthy than blessed Ambrose. Understand, I say this from the heart and not as an insult to anyone else. Jerome may be more skilled in the languages and the scriptures, Hilary in elaborate terms of speech, Augustine keener in unraveling certain knots, and likewise others may have excelled in other talents. But whom will you show to me who treated Holy Scripture with equal sincerity, who so cautiously avoided suspicious teachings, who always so conducted himself as a Christian bishop, who so exudes a fatherly tenderness, who joined the highest authority of president with utmost tenderness? This is why it is not for no reason that they call him the mellifluous doctor." So, Todd, really, at the end of the day, Ambrose was a really faithful pastor.
Let's talk a little bit about his response. Really, it's along with the entire church's response to the heresy that you mentioned before, that Arian heresy. You summarized it as kind of a heresy with regard to the person, the two persons in Christ, but go into a little more detail. And what do we have from Ambrose himself responding?
Ambrose responded in on a number of fronts. On the theological front, he wrote against, along with the Eastern Church Fathers, he wrote against the Arian heresy, showing from Scripture that Jesus is one true God, as we say now in the Creed, being of one substance with the Father. In other words, that Jesus is not some kind of Hercules, some kind of half above man but below the Father, something like that, but he is in fact true God. In his hymns, this comes through by carrying this teaching to the people through hymn verses. For example, in Savior of the Nations Come, it ends with a Trinitarian doxology, very much showing how Jesus, even as he becomes man and wins our salvation on the cross, remains at the same time fully God. That comes out in his hymnody there. In his writings, he especially attacked Arius for being clever and having good argument from clever reasoning, but not from the Scriptures. And so he says that he writes a letter in which he says that we do not ask our human reason about the things of God, but he says, let us ask the Scriptures. Let us ask the apostles. Let us ask the prophets. Let us ask Christ. So he's very much holding up the authority of Scripture over reason or any other writing.
Pastor Joshua Hayes is our guest. We're talking about 4th century Bishop Ambrose of Milan. When we come back, that term bishop may seem a little sterile. How did it apply to Ambrose?
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical and worship and confessional and teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're remembering 4th century Bishop Ambrose of Milan. Pastor Joshua Hayes is our guest. He has a master's degree in classics from Washington University. He's pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder, Colorado, and he's editor of Johann Gerhardt's Theological Commonplaces. When we hear that term bishop today, we generally think of maybe an aloof administrative kind of a position, not the pastoral side of it. Is that true in any sense of Ambrose?
Well, it is true that as the Bishop of Milan, which is this very important governing Roman city in northern Italy, that he had a lot of administrative duties to attend to, but he is not remembered for having been disconnected from the life of his people at all. Again, I mentioned earlier that he was very influential on Augustine when Augustine was really a nobody. And as a pastor, he also had, he was known for being gentle, but he also had guts. He knew when it was time to do the hard thing because it was the right thing. Probably the most famous example of this is when he actually excommunicated the emperor, Theodosius, who had been involved in a massacre of about 7,000 people in Thessalonica, that same town to which Paul wrote Thessalonians. And Ambrose is concerned for the emperor's soul and that he would repent and so as to receive the forgiveness of sins. And so your pastors know how hard it is to approach their people if they're concerned for their soul, that they're caught in some kind of sin, but all the more difficult perhaps when this is a highly influential person such as the emperor who could take your job away, who could put you into exile. Nevertheless, Ambrose told him to imitate David, which is exactly what the Lutheran confessions say we do when we look at the saints. We imitate them according to their office. And so Ambrose said, look at David, he was also a king. Look at how he repented after he had committed atrocity. And eventually, Ambrose did readmit the emperor to the Lord's Supper and had a pastor's heart for him the whole time, and the two remained close ever after that. Just a great example of pastor being involved in the life of his people.
He is associated, at least his name is associated, with the kind of liturgical form, a chant, that was popular in and around that time. What do you know about it?
Yeah, he is noted for having, not only in his hymnody, but in the chanting, in the liturgy of Milan, having a leading hand in that, which was somewhat different than the liturgy and sort of music in Rome, and hence that quote out of his book on the sacraments, when in Rome. He says, when I'm in Rome, I just do things the way the Romans do there, which is different than we have in Milan. And so the Milanese chants, the chants of Milan, they had their own chant books and their own kind of tones for singing things than they did in Rome, which was regarded as sort of the leading light for all things liturgical at the time. But Ambrose and the people of Milan had their unique ways as well.
Do we know, you had told the story, this oft-told story about him basically just being acclaimed bishop at a pretty young age, but also even before formal baptism.
Yeah.
What was it about him that would bring about something like that? It's highly irregular. Some might even say, you know, in church parlance, could have been illegal, but why? What about him was so striking to the people there?
Well, it's known that he was governor there and that the people were impressed with his management of the civil affairs, and he was known for being conciliatory and not being overbearing or heavy-handed. Also, this is probably my conjecture, but again, he was noted for being a great public speaker, and that's something lay people always want in their pastor, is a good preacher. And so it could have been many of these factors that would have led them to acclaim him as their bishop. But again, not the least of which that he seemed to be qualified just to be able to handle the stress and the demands of such a position.
Let's talk about the use that the 16th century reformers put Ambrose and some of his writings to in the Lutheran Confessions.
Yes, Ambrose is probably second to Augustine in terms of number of quotes in the Lutheran Confessions, and Ambrose is quoted up and down all the Reformers' writings as a faithful witness to the teaching of the Scriptures. I selected one quote here. Do we have time for that?
Oh, absolutely.
This is probably one of my favorite quotes from Ambrose. This is in the Lutheran Confessions, in the apology to the Augsburg Confession on the doctrine of justification. And Melanchthon here quotes Ambrose as follows: "But the world was subjected to him through the law, for by the commandment of the law all are accused, and by the works of the law none is justified. That is, by the law sin is recognized, but its guilt is not relieved. The law would seem to be harmful, since it has made all men sinners. But when the Lord Jesus came, he forgave all men the sin that none could escape, and by shedding his blood canceled the bond that stood against us. This is what St. Paul says: law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more through Jesus. For after the whole world was subjected, he took away the sin of the world, as John testified when he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' So let no one glory in his works, since no one is justified by his deeds. But he who is righteous has it as a gift because he was justified after being washed. It is faith, therefore, that frees men through the blood of Christ. For blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And then Melanchthon goes on to say that if you pile up all the commentators of all the medieval teachings and theologians on the doctrine of justification, if you heap these all up, read them and reread them, Melanchthon then says, they contribute less to an understanding of Paul than this one sentence from Ambrose. That's high praise indeed. And so we find in Ambrose a pastor who's both committed to Scripture alone and to faith alone in the doctrine of justification, which you could see is why the Lutheran reformers loved Ambrose as much as they did.
What can the 21st century church learn from this ancient bishop, St. Ambrose?
We can learn, first of all, that all Christians, whether they are in the civil realm or working in the civil realm, or if they are in church work, can dedicate themselves to the teaching of the Scriptures. And also, we can see in Ambrose a pastor who had a heart for the people, but that is expressed through faithfulness to the teaching of the Scriptures, and a pastor who cared for the souls of those, such as Theodosius, even if it meant to him personal cost, loss, or heartache, which is, in fact, the task of every pastor, every parent, every Christian, to care for those around them in their vocations.
Pastor Joshua Hayes has a master's degree in classics from Washington University. He is pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder, Colorado, editor of Johann Gerhardt's Theological Commonplaces. You can find out more about these Gerhardt resources under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Hayes, thanks.
You're welcome.
Folks, please help us continue to teach and defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints by making a year-end tax-deductible donation. With 1 month left in 2016, we're about $78,000 short of this year's expenses. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Also, you can make a contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break to talk about a new survey of North American mainline Protestant churches. Now, the denominations are in steep decline, but some of the congregations in those denominations aren't. We'll find out why and how the media is covering it after this.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. when you think about your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at IssuesETC.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.